Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's gorgeous outside and inside.
No, actually, it just got cold out there, and it's going to start.
Don't say ice.
I don't know. It's not going to ice.
Whatever you say, don't say ice.
But it did see some hail yesterday.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Just there were pretty good-sized nuggets, too.
Yeah.
They were like solid, you know, little chunks.
Yeah. And it came down and kind of like when I saw it was like waves, and then it would rain for a minute, and then it would be like hail, and then it would rain, and then like you weren't ever sure if it was really hailing, other than you really felt it hit you, and then it would melt like almost immediately.
Right.
But yeah, it was strange. It was strange.
Weird weather yesterday.
But spring is definitely just around the corner.
It's around the corner,
you know,
folks.
It's getting all temperamental and weird.
We've almost made it
for sure. Flowers are blooming.
Dark.
Rhododendrons are starting to happen.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time.
Them's are out in their long dresses and their what?
Their long dresses.
Their long shirts that are also maybe dresses. And how dare you ask for clarification on which? And you know that's how you know it's spring here in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
The them's they're frolicking in the fields.
What?
And it is opening up a little bit, so there is a little bit more frolicking.
More frolicking.
Yes.
Which I love to see.
Yes,
I love to see it.
I know it makes me happy as well. You know, just a little skip to my step, seeing those they and them's out there enjoying the sunshine, getting some exercise. It's just good to see.
It's good to see. It's inspiring.
Yeah it's inspiring.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about that today, Spenny. We're here to talk about music from before the year 2000.
Oh, we are.
And I'm going to start it out today because this is an episode of Old Gold, and I'm Craig, and that is Spendog Millionaire across the way from me.
And me.
We are the co-hosts of, as I said, Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Right.
And this one of our specialities is going way back in the past and just kind of digging up some musical rarities and seeing what... Everybody thinks about them.
That's right.
We
go and we check those out. We dig out a nugget from before the year 2000, and we examine it, and we see what's what with it.
Right. So I want to start this episode out today, Spenny, with like a little quiz trivia for you. Can you think of songs that got to like number one or like really big hits, big pop hits?
Okay.
That have no drums. Name some of those for me.
Hey There, Delilah.
Hey There, Delilah.
Yeah.
By?
Fuck, fine. It was a very one-hit wonder. Oh, man. Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City? You're 1,000 miles away.
Oh, shit.
Yes, it's true. And then maybe something with Owl City.
Okay.
Owl City. But, oh, man, those are all pretty contemporary. I'm sure there's way more. So, because we're talking old gold, so.
There's a real obvious one. It's one of the biggest singles of all time. And
My Heart Will Go On.
By the Beatles.
Fuck. Oh, Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, that's like probably the biggest one of all time.
Okay,
that has no drums to it.
Cool.
Eleanor Rigby, also by the Beatles, has no drums.
Just
piano. This is probably the second biggest song with no drums, and it was intended to have drums, and the drummer for it, a guy named Kelly Shanahan, has a quote about his not being able to make it to this session, and it's "God damn it." Because this song fucking sold a bunch of fucking...
That's his quote. God damn it. When interviewed for why he wasn't on the project, he was like, God damn it. Okay.
No, he just missed out on a lifetime of royalties from this song.
Oh,
because
shitty.
This song was not only just a hit record, It was a work for hire for a television show. Have you ever heard of the show Welcome Back, Kotter?
No.
With Gabe Kaplan, John Travolta, a young John Travolta, and the Sweat Hogs.
What?
Yeah, no, it was a story where this Jewish guy that grew up in, like, kind of the slums of New York left, and he comes back to teach high school. And then he has these guys called Sweat Hogs that are, like, all the troublemakers in the school, and John Travolta is one of them. And there's a bunch. Horshack. You know, it's great. You know, there's some great fucking characters in this. And then Gabe Kaplan is just like one of the great 70s comedians. He's just super funny. So if you've never like checked out like Welcome Back, Kotter, like it is just like a cool fucking piece of like the 70s. And it's still kind of, it's goofy, but it's still like funny. Like the sayings like up your nose with rubber hose and off my case toilet face. Have you heard any of those ever before?
No.
Those were big sayings in the 70s and they all come from this show.
Okay.
Originally, it was up your hole with a Malamo, which is like a frozen
Malamo.
Yeah, up your hole with a Malamar. No, what? Yeah, no, something like that. It was filthy before. And they toned a lot of the original humor down from like Gabe Kaplan's stand-up stuff to make this television show. But they hired... Okay, another thing that maybe I figured that you would have heard. I figured you would have heard of Welcome Back, Kotter, because it was just like a big 70s show that like maybe not watched it, but like you at least heard of it. You know, kind of like Three's Company or Happy Days or something.
I've heard
like
of those, yeah.
But maybe have you heard of the van The Lovin' Spoonful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So they have just a plethora of songs that are like big hits in the 70s. They're like one of those not really recognized on the level that they should be recognized as far as like influential, like folky rock bands of the 70s.
Cool.
But their lead guy, like the main songwriter, harmonica player, played all the instruments, pretty much guitar too, was a guy named John Sebastian. And they played Woodstock. They were fucking like right up there. I mean, he plays the harmonica on some Doors songs.
Okay.
So he was like a big songwriter, all this sort of stuff. You know, kind of like started out being like a roadie for Lightnin' Hopkins when he was
just like
a teen.
So they're LA
dudes? No, they're from Houston, I think, actually. Okay. You know, but definitely, like, they met, like, I think a lot of it, like, through Mama Cass.
Yeah.
Like, he got a lot of his initial deals because he was over in L.A. when all that was going on. But I think that the Lovin' Spoonful actually came out of Houston or somewhere like that, someplace strange.
Okay.
But, John Sebastian had kind of taken, the Lovin' Spoonful had broken up. And the guys that were doing the television show, they're like, man, we need to get like somebody just like the guy that sings for the Lovin' Spoonful to do this song. And so they get John Sebastian on the phone and they tell him that it's the name of the show is going to be Kotter, you know, because and he's like, OK. And he's like, well, so you need to write a song for the theme song. You know, and John Sebastian's like, okay. And so he tries it for a while, and like Kotter just doesn't lend itself to any sort of like rhyming or just, it just was not working. Like the name Kotter was hard to fit into like something that was good.
Yeah.
So like he's like, well, I'm going to go off to the premise of the story, and I'm just going to talk about like what the sitcom's going to be about, kind of, and then see what I come up with. And they loved it so much. Like when they heard the song that he came up with, like the producers loved it so much, and Gabe Kaplan loved it so much that they changed the name of the television show to include the name of the song by John Sebastian, which was called Welcome Back. So it became Welcome Back, Kotter. So he came up with this song, and he like just kind of added to it a little bit more because it was really originally pretty short for the show, and then he realized that like, oh, this is really probably a pretty good song, so he kind of fleshed it out and wrote a second verse.
Okay.
And sure enough, went number one in May of 1976.
Welcome Back,
Kotter. So let's look it up. John Sebastian, Welcome Back, and
cool.
Let's check it out, see what you think.
All right,
see if you miss the drums.
You know, I have a feeling I'm not gonna miss the drums.
No, I don't think you will. It's got piano in it, so
he looks a lot like John Lennon. They all look like. All right, here we go. Welcome back. Yep, and it's by far his most popular song.
Yeah, well, his most popular song is a solo artist. I mean, he did very little as a solo artist.
Right. Okay.
After Love and Spoonful, like I really can't think of other things he did other than this theme song. Maybe he did more things. But,
it's all like stuff from a live album. And
Yeah. He was kind of a performer sort of thing, but really, as far as like, he was kind of like a John Fogerty, you know, that kind of after Creedence broke up, he was just kind of gone. You know, and Fogerty kind of came back, but John Sebastian would only show up at like awards shows or like hee haw, and you know, he'd do like appearances like that. But like, it was really weird. It was like kind of like back in the days when like rockers retired for real and they stayed gone.
Huh.
You know, when that's you were John Lennon or Paul McCartney, and you could go on and have like long solo careers or whatever. But a lot of times you were just kind of like, nobody cared. After the band was over, it was like, nobody cared.
They're like, all right, it was the
Look,
band.
It's Captain and Tennille. Why would we worry about you anymore?
Right.
You know, we got John Denver. Fuck off.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's already people doing that.
But he showed him why with this song. Came back and just fucking killed it. It's such a great tune. So let's check it out.
All right. Here we go.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya. On the spot, welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back,
welcome back. We always could spot a friend. Welcome back. And I smile when I think how you must have been. And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where we need you.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back. And welcome back to you as well.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. What did you think, Spenny?
That was a great song. It's a very tightly written, like, you know, pop, 70s pop, Randy Newman solo artist kind of thing. Right?
For sure.
Great song. Didn't miss the drums.
Mm-mm.
But it did make me think. Because I was like, wait, why am I not missing the drums? And it's because they do, from a production standpoint, compensate.
With the clapping.
Right. There's still percussion.
Right.
There's a clap and there's a bass drum that's doing a do-do. Do-do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you still have like the do-do. Do-do. Or what, like, and then the guitar is doing a very like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. You know, like, so like all together. You don't need the drum set, you know what I mean? But they're still doing. He's like performing all of the elements that a drum set would be playing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but I guess just to some degree.
But just spread out, like instead of a snare, it's a clap. He's still got some kind of thud bass drum thing. I don't know what he used, but then he's got very rhythmic piano, you know, and guitar on the eighth notes, and. Yeah, it's very cool, you know, and it does have that very.
It gives it like dudes on the corner kind of feel because like it has no drum set.
Yeah,
you know, it sounds like a band on the corner with no drums.
Yeah, and I imagine like walking down like the streets of Boston, going back to my old favorite bar or some shit, and they're like. Meh. This fucking guy, and they kind of bust your balls, but they love you. Like, oh, well, you went out to California, huh?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's very, I don't know what it is about that style, especially once the harmonica gets in there, where you're like East Coast, like a dive bar kind of a vibe.
Something like that. Yeah. It's very, I don't know exactly where to place it, but I know exactly what you're talking about, you know. And the harmonica does kind of bring it full circle as far as that goes. But it doesn't quite get to like Piano Man with it. It's still got like a Steely Dan kind of, like Steely Dan gets in that territory a little bit. Like
it's quirky still.
It's real like New York City folk kind of thing. I just think it's got a super good feel to it. It's one of those just like pure, like feel good songs that is not like stupid, you know, like it's a happy song, but it's got like that. It's accessing for me, at least when I listen to it, like this really like wholesome, bittersweet kind of happiness, you know, it's like this real thing.
Yeah.
You know, that like very rarely does any kind of art form like really get at, you know what I'm saying? That it kind of gives you this like weird homesickness or something to it, you know? And I guess part of it too is that like this is part of the soundtrack of when like I was 5 years old, you know, so my sister Christy was born. So I was a little kid and it was on TV and I remember my parents really liking it, you know?
Yeah.
And it like, you know, it was like one of those shows that gave birth to like a lot of huge actors later on, you know, different things. And it was just like, I think my mom probably even learned it on the guitar, you know, I mean, it's like one of those
things,
you know, I'm sure. Yeah. That sort of thing. Cause it was just like kind of that, something I remember like very vividly. So it has that element for me as well.
Right.
Have you listened to The Loving Spoonful very much?
Not, I mean, I might have heard some of their songs, but I couldn't name you one.
Huh. Maybe we should take you just to kind of give everybody a little bit of a wider scope of like what John Sebastian is available. Because if you've not really listened to Loving Spoonful, we need to do a whole hit or shit. A whole old gold on them.
Sure. Because
they have like a lot of great 2.5 minute songs. So we could just really get into it and do like five or six songs.
Crank
by
them
now.
Out. Yeah.
But just, this is a great one. Also, just a song that my mom used to play on the guitar. And I remember it from my childhood, and my mom's version was way different than this, but it was fucking cool. But let's play Darling Be Home Soon by The Loving Spoonful. That'll be a great one to just take everybody home. It's not their biggest hit by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, so Do You Believe in Magic?
That's one of their big ones. Okay. Yeah. But if you've not listened to that song, that is a great fucking song.
Do You Believe in Magic?
Do You Believe in Magic by The Loving Spoonful is a great, great song.
I mean, I haven't heard it. I haven't heard it outside the context of like a rom-com, you know, or that kind of a thing.
Right.
So it's hard because it's like that is a very concrete association. But I would have, you know, but if we just listen to it in headphones, like usually
it would be a different experience, you know, especially if we listen to a couple other things by them beforehand and going to get you in the mood of kind of like what they're doing and why it was important at the time. Like it might be able to break you out of that rom-com thing. But a lot of their songs, you know, like how we're picked up by popular culture and, you know, covered and put in movies and TV shows and all that sort of stuff. You know, they were very LA in that sense. You know, they were ready to sell their shit to whoever was buying.
Totally.
But Darling Be Home Soon is a song that I'm sure that you'll probably recognize, even if you don't recognize it itself, because it has been ripped off and redone so many times by so many different people in different ways. It just kind of set this almost a whole genre. Of a type of music.
Yeah.
So everybody, thanks for tuning in. Like, we're going to take you home with this song by The Loving Spoonful. Spenny, thanks for tolerating another old man's music hour.
Oh, God. It was so long. No. I had a bit really quick. Not a bit, but just
a bit.
Thought. What's with the name The Loving Spoonful? Like, that's a weird name. I don't know why. It's like your medicine, right?
Yeah, take a Loving Spoonful.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't know. It's just
it's kind of
wholesome, but like
it's like this super, like before even like the hippie thing became even a little bit dark, it was just like it's a spoonful of love, and it's kind of like this. Yeah, it's yeah. just kind of a...
As you're supposed to just take it at face value.
Yeah.
Right? The, you're like, the, it's, the, no, it's a spoonful of love. It's not...
Well,
not
it's
like
kind of
strange
it's
medicine
the loving spoonful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a spoonful of something and it's loving.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's
so it works in this really I kind of love it, you know.
I think it's a great
it's
name.
A really weird because you can sit here and talk about it forever and it doesn't ever quite click.
Yeah,
but like the Lovin' Spoonful.
Yeah, and I mean, well, it just kind of rolls off the tongue too. Yeah. So
it sounds great. It's yeah, like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
you know, it's just one of those things that like if you think about the Rolling Stones, that makes more sense.
More sense. Yeah,
it comes from that old blues song.
Right.
But I think probably Lovin' Spoonful might come from an old song as well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That would be something that we'll look up for the old gold because I don't know that.
Okay.
Even with my vast knowledge,
with
I don't,
your
I don't
library
know that.
of yeah. encyclopedic intelligence.
I might have known it at some time at one point. I used to have a really nice like 3 LP set. I think I probably still have a 3 LP set of the Lovin' Spoonful that has pretty much everything that they ever did on vinyl back home. But
back home in Wyoming.
They had some really nice dust jacket notes on it that kind of told the whole story of the band too. So
cool.
Yeah. All right, so let's check this one out.
Let's do it.
We'll see y'all next episode, everybody.
All right, let's listen to it. Love you guys. Bye.
Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.